Hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Well, it's Brian Barrett in for Scott Walker here this morning, who is going to be here for Bart Walker. I know it makes a lot of sense, right? We're talking with Murfreesboro Police today. Chief Michael Bowen is here. Captain Clayton Williams here as well. It's, you know, WGNS, you never know what you're going to get inside, right? So, good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Do a little rain, I guess, this morning on the way in, huh?
Yeah.
Starting. Yeah, it is kind of that ugly, misty rain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just enough to make you mad and have to run your wipers.
And lights on, right?
Mm-hmm. Lights on.
Lights on. Most of the new cars nowadays, though, that just happens.
You know, that's funny. I get frustrated with that. Mine sometimes, if it's light enough, then they still won't come on, I guess, because
really?
It has that little, so I have to, yeah, it has the daytime running lights, but a lot of times but your backlights aren't on, so when you see people running around like that, a lot of times that's the reason, but oh well.
Just make sure you turn them on if it's raining.
Yeah, just flip the switch. That's it.
Yeah. So we're going to talk whatever you want to talk about here this morning. You can call or text. The number is 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. We're going to talk about things within the city limits of Murfreesboro. How many questions, Chief Bowen, do you get a day about something outside of Murfreesboro?
It happens from time to time, but we're always willing to help answer those questions, and if we can't do it, we'll point people in the right direction. So much transcends the city limits nowadays that a lot of times there's things that has dual impact, not only within the city but other areas of Middle Tennessee, so it's always something we're willing to help out with.
We'll tell you about a recent, this is going to sound worse than it is, but a recent encounter I had with one of Murfreesboro's finest. It was a good situation. Not for me, but so I knew that I needed to take my van for a tune-up to the repair shop. And so a few weeks ago, I, after the morning show, ran home and then was going to bring it here so then I could go to Smyrna with it. We got to the intersection of Thompson Lane and Broad Street, in the turn lane on Thompson Lane, turning left, and it stalls right there in the turn lane. It was 8:30. So
no traffic around, I'm
sure. No, not any traffic whatsoever. And so it just will not turn over. Turns out it's an ignition coil issue that's been repaired now. But so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Horns honking behind me, you know, get out of the way, you can't drive, all those nice things. And so I thought, what would Clayton Williams do? I think the instinct there is to call 911, but I happen to know the non-emergency number, so I just called that and calmly said, I could use a little bit of help. Well, within what seemed like less than a minute, probably 90 seconds, 2 minutes, I did not get his name because I was, you know, that's kind of a panicky situation, try to get out of the way. So he pushed me over to the side of the road and waited on a tow truck. But, you know, we got traffic going.
Yeah.
You do a lot of that, I'm sure.
Yeah, he says it. I mean, I know he says it all the time. There's so many things that he doesn't hear that you know, just happen every day because of that's just part of the job. But, you know, I'll let you talk, but I know he speaks to that a lot of times. You know, we hear about a lot of the big, big stuff, you know, but those just daily activities that get everybody what they need at the time, a lot of times you don't hear about, so it's good to hear those.
That's a situation that was, you know, that kind of gets the blood pressure up a little bit, you know?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
To have somebody come in there and calm things down and say, you know, it'll be all right, we'll just push you out of the way. And then it was, do you need me to help get a tow truck here? What do you want to do? And I had AAA or whatnot to get a tow truck. But, you know, it all worked out. But in that moment, and he probably is going to answer 20 or 30 of those calls that day, but it certainly helped one person. So,
yeah.
I'm sure it is nice to hear some of those stories, despite the fact that, you know, you do hear only about the really tough things, or people want to know about the really hard things that go on in our community.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, those small acts of, you know, we tell everybody when we hire new recruits, hey, you've got a chance to impact somebody's life every day that you're at work. And even if it's a something small, a small act of kindness that goes a long way. And fortunately, we see those acts not just in law enforcement. We see it all across our community. We're still blessed to have such a wonderful city to live in, to work in. We've got a supportive city. So, you know, a lot of good things going on in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah. I know the square over the last several weekends has been hopping. A few weeks ago, Earth Day, and then, yeah, you know, the farmer's market. So, I mean, you all have to do a lot with that, I guess, or...
Yeah, yeah. I hear a lot about the square on nighttime and people doing things. Of course, I'm in bed by 8:15, so I miss all of that. But, yeah, it's kind of cool to see the direction that... the city's going with wanting to I'm not going to use the word revitalize, to do some more projects in and around the square area. I think that's cool, because when you go to some other cities and see the downtowns areas, and what a great job so many of them have done with those areas as far as bringing in attractions, for lack of better terms, bringing in people to visit. It's really neat stuff, and we've got such a historical downtown. It's a really neat place to just go walk around. So we support that any way we can. You know, I know that we do provide resources up there for some of those nighttime activities to make sure everything runs smoothly, so to speak. I know that a lot of the special events and things we see, we do have a role in helping plan those events and making sure that things are done safely and where people can go up there and enjoy and have a good time.
Do you have certain people, I guess you are kept up to date on all the going, whatever's happening, you know, nighttime things, right, where there are going to be big gatherings.
Right.
You all are in the loop on all those.
Right. So actually, if they're large enough gatherings, you have to go through our permitting process, and I see all of those. And then we have a staff that is just dedicated to special events planning, parks. So if you're planning a special event, we have individuals that look at those permits, they help plan those events, and try to be a resource for those that are saying, hey, I'd like to do this, and we just try to help out any way we can. But definitely I see all those permits, and it goes through several staff reviews before it gets to me, and then it moves on to other individuals in the city for final approval. But yeah, if you're going to have any type of event, make sure you review the rules related to those type of events and get the proper permits if required.
What, and some people may think, well, why do I need to do that for this or whatnot? But when you have big events, there has to be some coordination for emergency services, you know, right, on the square. It's blocking traffic, right, access sometimes, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, and it's just making people aware, making sure that if you're going to affect other residents or businesses, things like that, that they're aware of what's going on. And just a lot of it's being a good neighbor, and a lot of it is first and foremost, we want these events to be safe, so we want to make sure that the proper steps are being taken to make sure those are safe events.
We have questions, comments coming in here. Text 615-893-1450. We'll get those on this morning. 615-893-1450. There is a reminder, seems like this is probably mentioned every time we're on, but the school zones, slowing down in the school zones, and sometimes it's 15, I guess it could be 20 in some areas, but whatever that speed limit is, those folks have a hard job, those directing traffic at the schools, don't they?
They do. They do. I was coming through school zone this morning, I could hear the whistle flaring, and I looked back to see what was going on, and it was too late. I couldn't really tell what was occurring, but obviously somebody was going a little too fast in that school zone. But I'm trying to think, Clayton, how many people do we have working school zones?
School patrol. I think there's 40?
It's quite a
Wow, really?
And those are part-time positions. And, man, you can't give them enough credit for going out there every day, twice a day, and really making sure that those school zones run as best they can. I mean, they're tough to manage, so, you know, it's always great to have patience with them because there's so much going on in those areas. But they do a great job for us, and like I said, it's part-time. They have to pretty much dedicate their day just to go out a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the afternoon, so they're committing a whole day for just, you know, what amounts to about an hour of work. And I don't know a lot of people would be willing to do that and just take up their whole day doing that. So we're blessed, fortunate, and thank them for what they do.
Yeah, especially if you maybe you live in the Blackman area and you, you're assigned the Siegel school zone. You got to get there twice, get across town. So, and, you know, you have to – is there a special – I'm sure there's some special training for that kind of thing. I would get confused on which hand is up and who's going where myself.
Yeah. So we do bring them in. They do go through an orientation, get a, issue the proper equipment, things like that. And then they do go through training. And it's challenging a lot. It's hard enough at times. A lot of frustrations on driver's parts, things like that. So it's definitely something you got to be even keeled and have a good temperament to be able to manage those positions.
We're talking Murfreesboro Police today. Chief Michael Bowen is here with us. Captain Clayton Williams is here as well on 101.9 100.5 WGNS and WGNSradio.com. You can text your questions in this morning, 615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. Just be sure to make sure we're talking about something within the city limits of Murfreesboro. And well, here's the question that you all knew that was coming. It starts with a P.
Oh, the potholes. Where's this one at?
This is talking about 24, but doesn't give a specific location on 24. So, I mean, honestly, that could be anywhere between here or Smyrna, Laverne, and that's a state road, right?
Yeah, that would be something they would need to refer to TDOT. Unfortunately, city and county is not responsible for maintaining those. And I know those guys got a big job, and I know I see them working, and I'm sure they triage that as need be, and we all feel it. So, they can just refer that on to the Tennessee Department of Transportation.
They actually have some ways to report that online, I think, through TDOT.
They've made a lot of upgrades on their website for many features. So I agree with you. I haven't seen it, but I guarantee there's a way to do that online reporting. You don't even have to call.
So Chief, someone runs into something like that within the city, is there kind of a procedure on what they would need to do to report that?
They can, biggest thing is call the street department if you get an opportunity to do that. If it's something bad, I think there was an instance one time, I forgot where it was, where these cars were just losing tires left and right, and they were all...
I remember that, but I don't remember
I don't remember where it was. I don't remember if it was the city. So if you see a situation like that, call our non-emergency number and so we can get the proper resources out there to either block it off or initiate repairs, whatever. But, yeah, it just depends on the circumstances. And if it can wait, street department's always a good way to go. And I don't know if our city street department has online reporting for that.
I don't know. I'd be guessing.
A lot of help there. Thanks for it.
Sorry. I'll double check it.
I was just pulling it up on their the website. They've got street repair and paving as part of their responsibility, but I don't see anything there necessarily for that. But
I got 1-800-RAYMOND. That's why I don't have to.
That's the problem is a lot of these people, we can just pick up the phone and call directly. So we...
We do. I mean, we used to have a form that we would submit as an officer. You know, it was a problem action report. There was a sign or something down. So, I mean, we can help relay that if they can't get it there.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
These are things that now that the weather's warming up, they're probably catching up on a lot of this work right now. You really can't do a permanent job when it's so cold outside.
Yeah.
And really, on city streets, I don't notice a lot of those.
I don't
things.
Either.
I mean, they do a real good job of taking care of a lot of those things and taking initiative on a lot of those things. So I don't see it so much on the city streets.
Yeah, they're pretty good about getting out there and at least patching them. You know, and they may have a long-term plan, like you said, once it warms up and finishes up. But, yeah, they're very responsive when you call in.
Yeah.
And you bring up a good point, too, about city streets. While the street may be in the city, the one that comes to mind that I travel every day is Thompson Lane. That is in the city, but it's a state route.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, that's not the city of Murfreesboro. Although they may, you know, get contacted by the state and ask them to go out there and do some patching and whatnot, which they've done a lot. You know, there are several areas. And that's usually when it's really cold and then rain or snow and then warms up and it's that, you know, back and forth and cracks become holes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we're going to talk here in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. Someone did ask about, I've got a couple of questions. One about hiring and some other things. So we're going to talk about that and much more this morning. You are listening to The Action Line. Brian Barrett in for the Walkers this morning with Chief Michael Bowen and Captain Clayton Williams here. Stay with us. We're going to check on the traffic and your weather forecast. We've got a little bit of rain falling here in downtown, so that's coming up here. As we continue Action Line, Roundtable coming up after the 9 o'clock news as well, as we keep it local here on WGNS.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro. If you prefer your pets small and furry, we've got you covered here at Animal City. Be sure to check out our extensive small animal department located downstairs. Here at Animal City, we are very proud to be family-owned and serving Murfreesboro since 1990. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro, Animal City.
When severe weather strikes, we break in.
A tornado watch is in effect for Rutherford County.
So the most up-to-date weather information.
We'll be here with you on radio and with Rutherford weather video channels as we continue to track this storm. As
get 10-point details on severe and impactful weather in Rutherford County with Rutherford Weather.
A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect for Rutherford County.
Listen for Rutherford weather updates on WGNS and watch on YouTube and Facebook by following at RUCO Weather. That's RUCO Weather.
It's the Doug Young Educator of the Month from News Radio, WGNS, and City Tile and Floor Covering on Spring Street. This month, we're proudly spotlighting Dr. Davola Span Mormon, Special Education Supervisor with Rutherford County Schools.
I come from a family of educators, and I have always had a helping spirit and mentality. I am blessed to be able to help and work with students and families from all walks of life.
She has a heart for service and a passion for students.
Sometimes we forget to laugh and stop and enjoy the small things in life. Kids have a way of reminding you to not sweat the small stuff and to just enjoy life as it is.
Every day, Dr. Mormon finds joy in making a difference.
Seeing all of my students graduate from high school and being productive citizens, especially those with disabilities who have had to overcome so many obstacles.
That's our Educator of the Month, Dr. Davola Span Mormon. Nominate a teacher at WGNSradio.com/educator. It's the Doug Young Educator of the Month from City Tile and Floor Covering.
We're loud, we're proud, we're blue. WGNS AM and FM, your home for the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders.
A heart for healing.
When life challenges become a torrential flood, there are local doctors, nurses, and medical technicians who help you maneuver the swift waters.
Gordon Ferguson, President and CEO of St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital.
Nurse practitioner Courtney Waters is our Heart for Healing recipient. A listener writes, "My husband was not feeling good, and nurse practitioner Waters took the time to listen. In fact, she listened intently and took detailed notes. She then sent him for a series of x-rays and scans. That's when they discovered a large mass growing into his esophagus. Although I've since lost him, I'm forever grateful to the Maple Street Medical Clinic and nurse practitioner Courtney Waters. She took the time to listen, and she receives dinner for two at the fabulous Alley on Main Street restaurant."
Submit your Heart for Healing nomination to WGNS.
Good morning, T-Dot. Still out here with this wreck. 24 eastbound at Hickory Hollow Parkway. We're just glad it wasn't over in the westbound lanes, or we'd have a bigger backup in that area, which is already heavy there on 24 west at Hickory Hollow Parkway. All that traffic pushing in from Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. Trying to return back to normal out there in Bellevue from the earlier collision. Still some rubbernecking on that situation from that wreck on 40 east near McCroy Lane. Hey, when you need dependable towing in Middle Tennessee, make sure you call STR Towing and Recovery. strtow.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
A few scattered showers and storms at times this afternoon. Cloudy, a high in the upper 60s. Tonight, slight chance for showers and storms. Cloudy, low 59. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS.
Currently, it's 61.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Back at 836 on 101.9, 100.5 WGNS, WGNSradio.com. And we're talking Murfreesboro Police today. Chief Michael Bowen here, Captain Clayton Williams, and we'll take your text, pass them along. Spur some conversation, 615-893-1450. The Action Line powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. You can stay current with the Plugged In podcast from MTE. Hear interviews from experts and get all the EV news you want at mte.com/pluggedin. So to the text line, 5570 ask if you would discuss the difficulty in hiring today. So we were just talking a little bit about that during the break. That has gotten better. I remember watching, this is how exciting my life is, watching city council meetings. But you had some reports of, a good report to the council the last time I heard you speak about hiring, and that's going much better.
Yeah, absolutely. So that would have been a real good question post-2020. And it was really difficult there for a while. I tell people that there was a point to where we were, and I'm using rough numbers, so don't hold me to the exact figures, but we were 52 down based on like 276 positions. So, and right now we're about 6 to 8 down on 331 positions.
Oh, wow.
So that tells you that, a lot of progress has been made, and I always point out to the fact that this wasn't like a local issue. It was a national issue. It was something that was going on across the country, and it was really challenging because no one was interested in taking a career in law enforcement, and it was for a multitude of reasons perceived before. Perceived support, I think, had a lot to do with it, with just the climate of everything that was going on in the country. Probably had a lot to do with it. The whole COVID, it just a lot of things at one time just really killed those that were interested in this line of work. Now we look today, and it doesn't just go for police, especially on a local level. It goes for fire as well. You know, I think their numbers are up. Our numbers are doing great. We've submitted for more positions in this budget. I know that we're getting a lot of applicants, and we're able to have a good pool to select from. So where we are now versus where we were a couple years ago, totally different scenario. It seems like a lot of things are swinging the other way and putting us in a good position to hire and retain good applicants.
Yeah, I think 4807's comment has the general attitude by people toward the police changed since the election. So yeah, I'm sure they're kind of tying that into the national feel and what you were just talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And probably a lot of that was happening before the last election. A lot of those things we were starting to see trends change. And I'll be honest with you, we hire a lot of people from across the country, and our mayor and council and our city administration has really helped to make us one of the top agencies as far as competitiveness with pay, and that has really gone a long way on the police and fire side. So that has really helped a whole lot in that regard.
That I'm sure was maybe part of the challenge. I mean, were we behind a little bit, and this was a good way to help catch back up in terms of being competitive with other areas?
Yeah. So in fact, we're probably one of the higher agencies around. I know that we have people that come in from other areas, and one of the things that we do that we've been doing here lately is basically when we hire new recruits, we bring them in, we show them, take them to a council night, let them see how city government works. And a couple of them have commented on the support from the mayor and council, like, man, where I was from, that wouldn't have happened. Yeah. And so we're fortunate in that regard. And we try to be responsible in the things that we ask and we present to city administration, the ideas, the funding, the types of things that we need. We try to be responsible in that regard. And I think by doing so, we receive a lot of support. And that goes a long way.
I'm sure it does. I mean, just to see you've got support from your city leaders and, of course, administration within Murfreesboro Police, obviously, and the general kind of feeling in the community, I'm sure, is big, too. 615-893-1450. Text in any questions you might have for Chief Bowen or Clayton here. Recruiting, how does that work? I mean, I think, you know, Dr. Sullivan was talking about this with county schools a few weeks back. You know, you do these big job fairs and things of that nature. Are there such things for, you know, recruiting police officers? I mean, how do you go about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We do that. We send people out to job fairs, different places. And, you know, does it produce high volume? Some cases not. Does it produce some real quality applicants that are committed to coming here and working at times? Oh, absolutely. So we do have a recruiter. We did that post 2020 when things really started going bad for hiring law enforcement. Hired a recruiter, Jason Higgins, and we found that if you stay in touch with the applicants and if you really keep them informed and really be, if you're available to them to answer their questions, meet with their families, show the city on top of just the agency, I think it's paid off pretty well, because I think a lot of times we forget, you know, it's more than taking a job. You're talking about bringing your kids to a new school system. If you're not from here, you're talking about, you know, a spouse that could potentially need employment. So there's so much more than just the job itself. It's a combination of things. And I think a lot of people get sold on Murfreesboro as well as the department.
You know, I would think that the entire Middle Tennessee area for someone coming from out of state would be, you know, a big feather in the cap for recruitment, especially being close to Nashville. If you want to be, you know, center of the state of Tennessee, you can get just about anywhere in the eastern half of the country within a day. So if your parents, you know, it'd be closer by. I mean, it really have a lot of amenities here too.
Right.
So.
Right. And I mean, it's the real facts. I know the mayor does it a lot of times. We'll go to, we've gone to a couple of town halls recently, and, you know, just, hey, how many people are from here and how many have moved here? And that number is indicative of our organization. You know, you have a lot of people that aren't from Murfreesboro, and that's great. That's fine. Yeah. I think it's an honor that they'd want to come and live and work here, but we just need to always remain aware that, hey, the dynamics are changing. The situation's changing in Middle Tennessee as we grow, and bringing in quality people from applicants from other areas is definitely one of our strategies.
So I don't know that I've had the chance, but a couple of times to talk with the two of you on the action line. But 7709 is asking about, when are we going to get the road fixed, you know, Old Fort Parkway and traffic? Well, that's another case of a state road. I mean, it's not like the city can go out and build extra lanes. Although I do know that I think the mayor mentioned that that's on the 10-year plan for TDOT. So that will help.
Absolutely. In staff meetings all the executive directors, myself, Chief McCluskey, attend those, and we hear plans on all that stuff. And if I tried to regurgitate any of it, I would mess it up and make it a total mess. So I definitely wouldn't want to try to answer that question, but I know that that area has been talked about, and I know that long-term there's talk about what to do and how to accomplish some certain missions around that traffic.
Yeah, I know that there are growing pains. I don't know that there is a community that has gotten it 100% correct in terms of building enough roads for all the people that are here, because it just takes so long to make all of that go, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
In a place that's growing like we are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's challenging. You know, I always go back to a light near my neighborhood. Everybody wanted a light there.
Yeah.
But it was on a state route.
I've got the same thing.
and they're like, yeah, why can't you do something about that? I'm like, it's not us. It's a state route thing. It's something that our city engineers have to go through the state, and Rom and his crew and had to get all that approved through the state. It's not just the city rolling out a bucket and putting up a light. It's a lot more involved than that, and these things take time. And then when you look at the costs that are associated with a lot of these road projects, it's a lot of money to do a lot of these things. Yeah. So it takes a lot of time and planning. And but I think long term we have some good minds behind that, and you know, they have to work within a certain framework. So a lot of people are, you know, get frustrated over traffic, but you know, a lot to work with, and it's not as easy as it seems sometimes.
So the traffic light that I have been a proponent of intersects it's a state road that intersects with a city road on one side and a county on the other.
Yeah.
So that's the perfect storm. Everybody has to get along there, and it's about to undergo some construction. So anyway, I do have another question here, and I think we'll talk about that after we take a quick break, just to kind of let the wheels turn a little bit. Someone was asking, this is 8949, who texts this question in about during the recruiting process, what is that process for someone who is interested in becoming a Murfreesboro police officer, you know, from application to a patrolman on the streets, what kind of walk us through that. And so we'll look at that when we come back. Speaking of the streets, we're going to look at your traffic here coming up, and much more as we continue the last few moments of the Action Line with Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen and Captain Clayton Williams. If you want to text in a question, we'll get it on here real quick, but don't wait too long. 615-893-1450. Back in a moment.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. Demas's has had a bar when we opened 35 years ago, and we've done the exact same thing with our bar menu that we've done with our food menu. We get higher quality items, higher quality cocktails. Again, some people just want a drink with their meal, where they might be able to get a drink to complement their meals. You need to check it out, so come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street. We really focus on value.
CBS News Brief. It's an exciting time for the more than 100 cardinals who will be electing a new pope starting this afternoon. Also exciting for Americans who just happen to be in Italy to witness it all, like John Swirk.
It's probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be in Rome when they're doing the conclave.
Beginning today, the TSA will no longer accept IDs that do not comply with real ID requirements. You'll still be able to fly with a valid passport, though. Flyer Brandy Marshall sees it all this way.
If you got a driver's license, most likely it's you. So why you need all this extra stuff? I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to argue with them, but hopefully I can get out of here in time.
For the second time in just over a week, an F-18 Super Hornet fighter jet assigned to the USS Harry S. Truman has been lost in the Red Sea. The two pilots were able to abort, says CBS's Charlie Daggett.
The Pentagon's chief spokesperson confirmed in a post Tuesday night the DOD is monitoring the situation and the aircraft was not struck by the Houthis.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
My grandmother and Ms. Adams were best friends. I mean, she said, Betty, you need to come to Adams' place. You'd love it.
We're talking with Betty Kirksey.
They go above and beyond of what their job is. I wish Ms. Adams was still living so I could tell her, you were right. It is where I should be, and it's very nice.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me for more information about Adams Place, located at 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
In today's changing world, you need a financial planner that you're comfortable with. Rely on the bonds that you've built with trusted friends at Old National Bank on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard here in the borough. And if you just moved here, visit us and enjoy warm, homemade cookies.
Honey, the cookies are ready.
Like Grandma used to make. Old National Bank, we're better together.
2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard. Old National Bank, member FDIC.
Money issues? There's someone local you can talk to. Financial Coaching Radio with certified financial planner Jason Qualls. Weekdays at 4 on News Radio WGNS. The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We're back on the Action Line. Brian Barrett sitting in today, and we're talking Murfreesboro Police and Chief Michael Bowen here, Captain Clayton Williams. A lot of our questions today, Chief, have been, you know, about the feeling toward, you know, police officers and hiring difficulties and things like this. And a follow-up to that question right before the break was, you know, what is the process from start to on the streets? So what would that process look like? I mean, it's not like you're going to go fill out an application today and be on the street on Friday.
Now, as a rule of thumb, we typically, whether it's exact or not, but we typically say, hey, from the time you fill out your application, it's a year before you're any good to us on the street. That's how involved the process can be. And like any job, you just basically go online, find when we have openings posted, fill out that application, get that application done, and then we will schedule testing with you. And typically, right off the bat, that would involve the physical abilities test, and we would schedule you for that. And if you can successfully complete that, we'd send you right into a written test. And you'd have to pass that as well before going into interviews. Once you go through these structured interviews, if you're selected to be hired, we'd send you into the next phase, which would involve a background check. And then, you know, if you successfully complete those things, you also have to do the medical testing, the psychological testing, the drug and alcohol testing, those things. Basically, if you get to that point, you're pretty much hired. Then we'd bring you in, and you would attend. We call it our mini academy, for lack of better terms, in the police department. So basically, you'd have some classroom work to do for several weeks, and that's regardless if you're hired in as a new hire or a lateral. Everybody has to go through it, and then you move on to the training program. The big difference with the training program is if you get put with the field training officer and you're a lateral, you typically can wrap that up a lot quicker than you would if you're a new hire.
So a lateral, what is that, coming from one department to another?
Yeah. Okay. It's somebody that has the equivalent post certification from another agency. And basically, they just have to do a transition school, a couple-week transition school through the state, and they can get that accomplished fairly quickly. So you do that, and if you can successfully complete all that, then you'd go on to what we call solo performance and basically out there on your own. You would be on a probationary period from the time you complete your training. So the whole time you're on the training program, you're in a probationary period, and then once you hit that solo performance, you'll have a year of probation that you'd have to complete before you're done.
Yeah,
to speak.
And if somebody's Chief mentioned about the website, that when we're right now we don't have anything currently posted, but if, say, especially if you're a lateral or someone who's interested in a job other than a police officer, if you go to the website and click on the police department, and click the recruitment tab, there's also a job interest card there that you can fill out. This is helpful for folks that are looking to maybe move the area and schedule their visit and things like that. They can fill that out, and someone will be in contact with them from our agency to kind of talk to them about that. And one of the biggest questions we get on the prerequisites and things you have to do is the physical test. There's actually a link to a video there that will show them exactly what that physical test encompasses, and so they'll be prepared and know what to expect when they get there to take that test.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, one of the things we learned a few years ago was, you know, everybody in Middle Tennessee is competing for applicants.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, you've got Sheriff's Department, Smyrna, Laverne, Eagleville right here in your own county.
You know, even places like Hendersonville.
Yeah.
Just those seem so much further away. But, yeah, and everybody's competing for these applicants. So one of the things we changed as well is we started early onboarding. So basically we would have applicants and we're like, hey, we want to hire that person. And then they took a job somewhere else. So one of the things we've changed is we do early onboarding to where if we have a good applicant but we don't have a class for them to go into, we can go ahead and do them a hire. They can do a ride-along until their class starts. And a lot of good feedback on that, because that gives individuals a way to come in, get in a police car, ride with a officer, see what's going on, see how things are done, and kind of get some early ideas on, hey, what's expected before they actually go into being graded every day. Because when you're on the training program, every day, everything you do is graded. And no pressure there.
Well, that was just kind of the thing that I was following up with, you know, and all of that. If you get someone several weeks down the road, you're really invested. I mean, it's going to cost more money for that person not to work out. You know, does that make sense? I mean, in that all during that probationary period and all, you're really banking on this working out. Otherwise, you know.
Yeah. With the investment, we don't want to see people fail. We want to make you successful in this job, and we want to bring you on board, and we hope you can spend many happy years with us and be a part of the agency, so that we have nothing to benefit by you not being successful and passing the training.
Yeah. And, you know, someone has to look at, I'm sure, even the paperwork before you see the person and say, you know, is this someone we want to look at? And there has to be some work done in that too, you know, especially if it's a lateral move from somewhere. Why do they not work there anymore, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. And the unique thing about our process is we don't typically flip through applications anymore. I mean, everybody gets invited to the testing. And you'd be amazed at how many people don't show up for the testing.
That weeds some out.
Yeah. So right off the bat, a lot of the applicants that don't show up get jobs other places. So it's kind of interesting, but everybody gets an invite for the testing unless there's something there that maybe.
The only time that I know of we do that is if it's somebody that's been through the process multiple times and there's obvious reason they can't be hired for the job, and it's just we don't want to placate them, you know, make them, give them false hope or things like that.
I mean, it's
good save there.
Thank you. No problem.
Well, I appreciate you both coming on today. Been
a
good
time.
Conversation. Good. Yeah. It's it.
Wow.
It's time. Time is up. So Chief, thanks for coming in.
And, absolutely.
Captain Williams.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you both. And that's going to do it here for the Action Line here this morning.